The Gemara says in the beginning of the Flamadala from the base, Tomla Bono, Ezra Tikin Yishol Shikari Matira Matechocha Lifniat Teres. Yeah, the Gemara says that Ezra was in the Sakin, that it should dafka be Parshas Bechukosai before Shavuos, and all the nation should have the Teichocha, yeah, the, all the brachos and klolos before Shavuos. In other words, it's very clear that the Parshas that we're learning these few weeks are Negea directly to the time of year that we're going through. And therefore, if Parshas Bechukosai is 2 weeks before Shavuos, certainly Parshas Bamidbar, there's a week before Shavuos, it's very, very relevant to the understanding of how to Mekabel the Torah B'Shleimus. And therefore I want to focus on a Mishnah and on four lessons of this week's Parsha that is Negea directly to Matan Torah and Parsha B'Midbar. The Mishnah says, Im ein ani li mili. Hillel says that. Im ein ani li mili. U'kash'ani le'atzmi mo'ani ve'im le'achshav e'masai. If not me, if it's not me, who? If it's not, if I'm by myself, what am I? She'd ask me, Moani. If not now, when? That's Be'erech L'Pshat. Different Mishotim, but that's Be'erech L'Pshat. I want to go through, and that is his derech, that is his key to understanding the chiv of the Odom Bailomoy, the chiv of the person in this world, and that is how he appreciates the feelings one should have towards Matan Torah. And therefore I want to work through with these understandings and build the connection between these parashas and of course parashas Bamidbar. The Pasuk says Bamishbar Shemoi Tadabar Hashem Amoish Bamidbar Sinai Bo'ol Moi Bo'echa L'Chodesh Hashem Amoish Bamidbar Sinai Tzayt Meir Tzayim Leimoi Se'ur Yitzroish Kol Adas Bnei Shom Mishbachos Beis Avoifam. Count the names of these people. B'mispar shemois kol zocha l'gul galeisam. Count the mispar shemois kol zocha l'gul galeisam. Says the Ramban in Perik Aleph Pasuk Mem Hey. The Ramban says like this: Omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu lemanoisam b'kovod u'b'gedula l'kol echad ve'echad. There is a chiyuv not just to count them, but there's a chiyuv se'u to pick them up, to give them a hey, that is to say in Yiddish. To make them feel good. Lemanoisam b'kovod u'b'gdula l'kol echad v'echad. Each and every one of them, you should count them b'kovod u'b'gdula. Le'tio'ime l'roish ha'mishpacha kamba mishpachtecho. Don't go to the family and say, okay, Reuven, tell me, who are the main tribe leaders? Who are the main big families in Reuven? Give me the names. Go to them, make it very easy, and say, okay, you've got 1,000 family members, 1,000. You've got 2,500, 2,500. You want 1,300, 1,300. Add them all up later. No, don't go to the family members. You've got to do the Seus Rish, call Adas Bnei Yisrael, Google Esom. Every single one, you've got to count head by head. Every single one, you've got to count separately. Very, very inefficient. Elo, kulahoy nyehei oivim lefanecho. Everyone should pass by individually in front of you. The ema ubekovet, with fear and with kovet. Va'ato moina oisum, when you count them. Hodo dechseb mispashemoit and eseshan lamala legul galeisum, every single head. In other words, we're not stock taking. It's not the end of the year. We haven't seen how well things are going, and we stock take. Are there more Jews? Are there less Jews? How many Jews? What families? How to the breakup? That's not what we're doing. What we're doing over here is giving them an individuality. We're counting them. Now, to count something is to identify that this has an independence. Yeah, I can't count the molecules in that bottle because I don't have the capacity to break that bottle down enough that I can identify the various different parts of that bottle. So it looks like one big bottle. In order to count something and to number something separately, what you're doing over here is you are counting and you are identifying that each one is a separate entity to the other. And therefore, by counting something, you're actually appreciating something, you're showing that I'm giving kovod. I know that you're different from the next person. And therefore, Se'u es reish kodas b'nei Yisrael, Se'u over here, says the Ramban, is not just finding out a number. How many people are there in Klal Yisrael? You know, how's Reuven doing this time of year? You know, is he doing well? Oh, Reuven, Yehuda's a bit down in number. That's not what we're doing. Because if we wanted to do that, it would be much easier just to go along and let each one just tell us, break down into five or six parts of the crime and tell us how many people. No. It's Su'u, it's counting each one of Gugalesim, each one separately. What's the idea behind that? Why? Why? So the Ramban says it's because of covered in the Gdula. It's again covered in Gdula. The idea is, Rabbi Isai, the fundamental of Yiddishkeit is a knowing in Ein Anili Mili. It's not that we have one huge nation and it just happens to be part of Klal Yisrael. It just happens to be part of a mass people who go daven, a mass people who are going and learn, people do chesed, and just I'm just one of them. I'm just part of one big machine. Here, the first lesson we have, the week before Shavuos, is Im Ein Anili Mili. Is if it's not me, then who's going to do my part? Where am I going to fill my chelik in this world? Sein chalkeinu b'seir asecho, we damn the Kodesh Baruch Hu, give us each our individuality in the Torah. Nobody in the world has the same struggle and the same potential as any other person. Everyone is unique. And everyone in their own particular way can build and grow and help others and help Klal Yisrael and build Klal Yisrael to a more prophetic Klal Yisrael, but each one is different. And therefore, Su'ud, the Pasuk is saying, no, don't just take numbers. Count each one. Identify the milus and let them know that each and every one of them is unique. Each and every one of them is special. And therefore, the first lesson is Dafka, the beginning of Bamidbar, is when Klal Yisrael is taking, Pasuk Vayikra is all about making the Ashrat HaShechina in the world. Bamidbar is bringing the Ashrat HaShechina and bringing it into Klal Yisrael. Bring it down into our heart. Bring it down into our day-to-day life. And the first lesson is, we're special, we're unique. The Gemara says, Lomo, the Mishnah says, Lomo, Nivra Ha'odim Yechidi, why is a person born single? Why isn't they not born, 10 people at a time, the first 10 people Hashem, why is the Odom Rishon born single? To tell us, everyone should say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created for me. So the very, very famous Slonim Avot, the one of the Hasidim came, I'm not sure whether one of the Hasidim, one of his children came to the son of the Rebbe and said to him, that causes gaiva. Bishvili Nivra Olam, you see that on the roads a lot. Yeah, but Bishvili Nivra Olam is not going to make the world a better place. It's going to make the world a bit of a rough place, Bishvili Nivra Olam, other rabbi, make HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it on the contrary. You should create the world with 50 Odom Rishons at the beginning, and each person should be an Olam. The world's made for me, therefore I'm entitled to go first, jump the queue in the bank, I'm entitled to pretend I was there in a doctor's thing, I was always here, and you can't be there exactly. I was there first, no you weren't there, and therefore, what's Shri Nivra'ilam? So he said a very big story. He said, the Kitzah, the son of a Rebbe, he said, he had Shef Tishmaya, he said there was, just at that time, it was the early 1900s, there was a very, very big expedition of some, of doctors. There's a doctor, who was going to Africa to learn from the tribesmen and some different different clans there, the various different natural herbs and how they help in medicine. And they're trying to further medicine, and they sent out this doctor who was a natural doctor to find out, to speak to these tribesmen and to find out what's going on, etc., etc., and to get the herbs and to be able to cultivate that back into the medicine world and maybe to make some breakthroughs. So, fine, he goes. But the problem is, if he goes, he can't go by himself. It's years. So his family's got to go with him. So he's got his wife and a few kids go with him. Fine, so he's got wife and a few kids. But what do you do now? You go into a place where a bunch of wild guys with a bone through the nose, you can't send him alone. So what do? You send him a group of 10 people to protect them. No, with guns and with knives, whatever it is. Fine. So now you have about 20 people there. Those 20 people, they can't just go themselves and need somebody who's going to cook for them. So somebody who's going to cook for them. And what about somebody who's going to carry their things? They have ship as well. And what about those people who are going to be looking after the horses? Eventually, there are 60 people who went on this expedition. One night, you hear this very, very heavy, the air is heavy, and you've got the noises of the little crickets, and it's very dark, middle of the night. One of the schleppers sees that the light is on in the tent of this doctor. So he comes into the tent of the doctor and says, everyone's sleeping, why are you awake? He said, all your work can be done. Other people, why are you awake? He said, you idiot. The only reason why you're all here is only because I have work to do. In other words, I can't go to sleep now because other people are here. On the contrary, the only reason why you're all over here is only because I have to do my work, and therefore that's why I'm working late in order to make it worthwhile for you all to be here. That's Peshat Bishvili Nevar Olam. Bishvili Nevar Olam is not Peshat that I'm a Baal guy but the whole world is made for me. No, I am over here for a purpose. And since I'm over here for a purpose, therefore I've got to make sure, and the whole world is made for me, I've got to make sure that I'm up late at night to make sure the whole world is doing what I'm supposed to be doing to keep the world going. In Eina Nili Mili, don't rely on other people. You've got Matan Torah coming next week, says the Torah. You've got Shavuos coming next week. Don't say, Shavuos is for the elitists. Shavuos is for the Tamidei Chachamim, these big guys who, they know what Shavuos is all about. This for Kabbalah Torah is for them. It's not for me. Who am I? I could ask about reading Gemara. I could ask about learning Gemara. Well, that's not for me. It's for the Rosh Shivas. The answer is no. Parsha Midbar told me, Kol Echad Ve'Echad, every single one is important. Every single one, Jew is important. And therefore, before you go into Shavuos, appreciate the Eina Nili Mili. That's the first lesson. By the way, I shouldn't spend too much time on this, but that's why Dafka doing the Sphira. Sphira is all about counting. Accounting and knowing and identifying that every day is different. Amongst Hoshu Bitsferis, amongst Bereshaboy, each day is different. Every day is different. Everyone has its own speciality. And therefore, Tamidim Rav Akiva, who didn't appreciate that every day is different. Why? Because they thought, if I'm like this, my friend should be like this. He does not like that, he's a behemoth. I don't have to respect him. And because they felt that way, they didn't give respect to one another, they didn't know and appreciate the days of counting, because they didn't know to identify that things are different and people are different, and therefore since they did not know how to identify things are different, then they have the right to be mekuyim in those days that there are days of counting. You understand? The dafka doing these days of counting, where things are supposed to be different, if you don't appreciate that, you don't have a right to survive. And therefore that's why they died. Dafka doing these days. So that's the first lesson. Ain't a neely meely. If it's not me, then it's not going to get done. I have an obligation. But there's another lesson. The prophet says, Su'us rois kadas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachosom l'beis avosom. It's not just ugugaloisom, count each one. But it's Su'us rois kadas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachosom l'beis avosom. What's l'mishpachosom for the families? What's going on there? Says the Medrash. That the time that Kodesh Baruch Hu, different Midrashim. But the Medrash says like this, when the time of Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, the other Umos came to Kodesh Baruch Hu b'vatru nusra, with tainus. And they said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. Why are you giving Klal Yisrael the Torah? What about us? So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, fine, fair enough. Bring me a Sefer Yuchsin. Bring me a Sefer Yuchsin. Let me see the book of where you come from. You know where you write the family tree? Show me your book of the family tree. Show me the book. So they looked at the family tree, looked here, they looked there, they couldn't find a family tree. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't find a family tree? Look at Klal Yisrael, look at Miuchas they are. Look at them. There's Moshe came from Amram, came from this, came to Avram, Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram. This is a Miuchas. So, forget it. Ask the Mefarshim, ask the Bali Musa, what's the idea over here of a family tree? Just say, let's say they found a family tree. Oh, Edwin found a family tree. Fantastic. Great. Okay, so who's your great-grandfather? Amalek. Perfect. And his father? His grandfather? Esav. Wonderful. So what's it going to help to bring a family tree? Why does it help? Just say, because Mark could just say, listen, you can bring any family tree you want, but it's not going to help you, because Kladishol are the most miyuchas. They come from the best pedigree. They come from the best stock. And if I'm giving a Torah to the most miyuchas of the world, that's why I'm giving it to you. What's the shnicker saying, yeah, bring me a family tree? Oh, they don't have one. No, I haven't got a family tree. I'm sorry. It's basically like going to Misrad HaPnim, right? And they don't want to see you. Who wants to see you in Misrad HaPnim? They want to smoke outside and have coffee. Did you bring your ksuba? Yes. Oh, same. Did you bring your mother's ksuba? Yes. What about your great-grandmother's ksuba? I don't have it. Out you go. Sorry, next appointment is another 6 months' time. Phone up in 6 months' time. You can't get through in 6 months. Yeah? But it's not Misrad HaPnim. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu actually wants to see the two dots. They want to see the two dots. They want to see their family tree. Come on and say, show me family tree. It's not going to help you. What's the idea of bringing you a family tree? What's the idea behind that? So they bought a Muslim unbelievable thing. They say, Enachanama, Yichus was very important, but it was not the issue. It was not the issue. The issue Kodesh Baruch Hu was looking for was a family tree. Why? Because the idea behind this is, that an individual can be as choshev as he wants to be. He can be very, very choshev. But as long as the individual does not connect himself to the mass, does not connect himself to Mesira, does not connect himself to Am Yisrael, does not connect himself to a klal, he is nothing. Ukushani la'atzmi mo'oni. If I am by myself, who am I? Nothing. I am nothing. Unless I connect myself to a klal, ukushani la'atzmi mo'oni, I am nothing. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, 1 second. You want the Torah? I also want to give somebody the Torah. But how will there be a keem in the Torah? How will there be? There will only be a keem in one way. How? If one generation teaches the next generation the Torah. Otherwise, it won't be taught. Now, the next generation can only learn from the previous generation if they master the previous generation, if they appreciate and they value the previous generation as being somebody they're worth learning from. If you don't value the previous generation, then you can't learn from them. You can't learn from them. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a test, and he said to them, who can bring the family tree? Now, who brings the family tree? Somebody who values parents. Somebody values grandparents. Someone doesn't care about parents or grandparents, doesn't have a family tree. You don't keep something on your wall they don't care about. You don't keep your parking tickets on the wall. Right? People keep their certificates on the wall. They don't keep your parking tickets on the wall. You're not proud of it. You don't keep it. Okay? And therefore, this is the idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, I want there to be a continuation to the Torah. There cannot be a continuation to the Torah unless you have a nation that is proud of where they come from, is proud and listens and values what the previous generation wants to tell them. And only such a person can, only such people, only such a nation can Torah continue. And if you don't have a family tree, you're wasting your time. I'll give it to 1-2 generations. 4 generations down the line, they'll say these guys are nuts. Who cares? We know much better how to serve the net than these people. Therefore, what shaykhs do they have to this olam hazeh? Forget about it. We need old people. You know, you get people, old people who don't know how to send an email. Yeah? You know, old people are not allowed to send an email. So you think they've lost it. Silly old people. You can't even send an email. Yeah? GPS. Yeah, they can't even work out GPS. Like, come on. Right? So we should learn from them Torah. So Enoch and Amos, some generations, there's a generation gap, and there's no shaykhs. On here, we have a classroom who bring the Sefer Yochsin. We love our parents. We appreciate them. It's in the Gvaldig. Yeah? We believe in evolution. We believe in reverse evolution. We believe that people are turning into monkeys. There's no doubt about it. People are turning into monkeys. And go and believe people are coming from monkeys. And therefore, that's what Bayan Shalom is saying. Bayan Shalom is saying, bring the Sefer Yochsin. Show me that you appreciate your past. Show me you appreciate your rabbis. Show me you appreciate what your Messiah are willing to give you the Torah. No Messiah, no rabbis, no Sefer Yochsin, forget about it. There's no Shaykh. It's not Shaykh for you to have the Torah. That's heavy the Sefer Yochsin. And that's in Kishani La'atzmi Mani. If I am myself, if I'm only in Ein Ani Li, if I'm only myself, by myself, I've got no Messiah, I'm making my own Derech in Yiddishkeit. My own Derech in Yiddishkeit. I've got a special Derech. Everyone else thinks, I decided to keep my own special Derech. I'm going to daven in a particular way. I'm going to learn in a particular way. I've got my own pshatim. It's all shtus. How do you know Aleph is Aleph and Base is a base? Someone just taught us Aleph and Aleph is base and base. Let's say I decide to come along one day and say, you know what? Gimel is Aleph, Dalet is Hay, and Zion is Ches. Right? And that's how you're going to read it. It's not going to make sense. You have to have Mesira. And therefore, that's the second lesson. The second lesson is, Suz Rish B'Kolad Af Meisol HaMishpachoysom. It's got to be the Mishpachos and the base of Oisom. It's got to be a Sefer Yuchsin. It's got to be connecting to Messiah. You've got to connect yourself to a infrastructure of people who are connected to Torah. If you buy yourself, it's nothing. That's the second limud before Matan Torah. It's in Kishanila Asmi Moani. I need this on. Who says that? Who says this? No, not me. That's why Dr. Avraham said Bamidbar Sinai, possibly the Midbar word Bamidbar Sinai. That was before Hash Sinai they came along with this counting. Before they got the Torah, that's why Midbar Sinai. Who says it? I'm sorry, I don't know. Okay?
The
Bali Musa. Yeah, the Bali Musa. Okay, I can get sharp in this. I'm not going to go too deeply into here. How people without Messiah have nothing. But anyway, that's one idea. So the next idea is I want to learn Imena Ukashanila Atzmi Mani in a different way. Ukashanila Atzmi Mani is a whole new way of learning. So far learning Ukashanila Atzmi Mani means if I am have my own derech and Torah without connecting myself to a Masera, that's a joke. It's nothing. You know? The Regina, the Chayin of Rachel, Zina Rebbe, he brought rias, and he brought many, many rias that the Tcheles and the Titzis, that Tcheles, he found Tcheles, and he brought many, many rias, and he went to the Briskerov, and he spoke to Briskerov at length with all his rias, and the Briskerov said, you know, I have not one shaila. All your rias are good rias. I've only got one thing to say. Mein Tate hat avoid nicht gemacht. My father never did this. And that's the biggest pircha. It's the biggest pircha. You can have all the different proofs in the world, but that is not our Messiah. We don't have a Messiah for that. You can bring all the raya back, that doesn't matter, but we haven't got Messiah. Without Messiah, it's nothing. It's nothing. You can start doing it and you can have all the proofs, lovely proofs, but that's not what our grandfather did, not our great-grandfather did. I never had it. Fine, they never had it, so you don't have it either. But that is Messiah. Messiah is connecting yourself to a ironclad continuation of Doyer after Doyer. If you never had it, it could be all the rice, but we didn't have it. So that's what he said.
I don't understand that. I mean, we're living in Eretz Yisrael now. Grandfathers didn't live there.
They wanted to. Nothing's changed.
They wanted to have us too, but they didn't have all the rice.
The Eretz Yisrael, though. We only know because of our grandparents.
This is the
same with the Tehillis. They once lived in Israel, they once had Tehillis.
No, Metzias. No. Metzias. In other words, the Metzias of having Eretz Yisrael we've always had. Just we haven't been zeichet to it. The Metzias of Tehillis is a question whether that's Metzias or not. If you even want to bring Rias, that's a Metzias. Our grandfather never held it, that's a Metzias.
They never sell the Rias.
Fine, but they never had it. They never had the Rias for the Metzias. Okay. Fine. If you understand brisk, it'd be easy for you to accept. You know, there's tatzel denish gemacht. Okay, that's a whole mindset. But that's kshina atzmi moni. There's another book. No, the Rizina Chassidim all have chesed and tzitzis, and a lot of people done it from there. But you'll see the olim atzira. Talking about the olim atzira, the olim yeshivas have not taken it on because of this mesiras issue. If they would, it's gavaldik, keeping the back all the way back to the etz and mitzvah is fantastic. Other rabba, we map in the mitzvahs and we want to get the mahadar in mitzvahs, why don't we do it? There's no mitzvah. You want to bring rice? Bring rice. But there's lack in mitzvah, it's not us. And that's why the oilam benitzah you don't see the hamoin arm of the yeshivas walking around, the roshivas walking around with prayers and mitzvahs. Okay? There's another shaymin in Atzmi Moani. The posuk says, in Perik Aleph Pasuk Mentes, the Pasuk says, "Ach es matelevi leisipkoid, but matelevi do not count. The esreishon leisiso betoich bnei Yisrael, and the head do not lift up betoich bnei Yisrael." Ask some sefer, what's the shat? Ach es matelevi leisipkoid, don't count them. The esreishon leisiso, it's repetition. Sisa means to count, right? So he's saying count. Achmat Levi don't count. Resurrection and Sisa don't count. But Toich Bnei Yisrael. So what's this double lashon? The Sifkod and the Sisa, number one. Number two, what is Betoich Bnei Yisrael? Achmat Levi the Sifkod. What's Betoich Bnei Yisrael? Obviously, who are we talking them? Who are counting amongst? The Mormons. I mean, what are we counting? Betoich Bnei Yisrael? Obviously, Betoich Bnei Yisrael. What's the Shaykhus? So there's a beautiful story of Eli Chaim Meisel, the Lezerov. Lezerov was a very, very wealthy man. Lezerov had a business. He was a very, very, very wealthy man. He's a very balabatish yid. He worked a lot with different wealthy people. Lez was a... I'm not sure exactly where it was. I think somewhere near France. I'm not sure. It's a very... Still, he has a grandson in England now, or the Lezerov. It's a very aristocratic Hasidus. Yeah. He's very aristocratic Hasidus. And one day he went collecting for the firewood in town. So he's collecting firewood. Firewood is expensive. So he goes to a gevirah's house, knocks on the door, and the gevirah says, "Please come inside." And there's snow outside. He's got heavy boots, and it's wind is howling. So, you know, "Please come inside." He says, "No, let me talk to you." So, come. Anyway, the guy, okay, he comes outside, stands there in the, you know, in the snow, a few steps away from his beautiful warm house, and he's holding his arms, trying to keep warm, and stamping his feet. And he starts talking to him, and he says to him, you know, I've got to tell you, things aren't easy. There's been a credit crunch here in Lege, and things are not easy here. We need your help. Yeah, sure, please come inside. No. I'll tell you what's the matter. The problem is we don't have firewood. I need your money, I need your help. Yeah, no problem, but please come. No. I need your help. How much are you willing to give me? How much do you need? I need... Fine, I'll give you. Gesundheit. Fine, let's go inside. You sure you're willing to give me? Fine, okay, we'll go inside now. Goes inside there, warms up. He says, Rebbe, no, do me a favor. You know, I'm willing to give you the money. You know I'm willing to give you the money. So what's the problem? So why couldn't we meet inside like a man? So I had to stand outside stamping around in the snow. He says, no. He said, when you're in your beautiful warm room, and everything's going lovely for you, and it's going glowing, and you don't realize what it means to be cold, you wouldn't have given anywhere near as much for wood for these people in the cold. And you have to stand outside. You've got to feel what it's like to be cold. That's when I ask you for firewood. That is when you can give the right amount. Says the Pasuk, V'achis matalevi leisifkoid. Don't count matalevi. Why? Because matalevi are special. Matalevi are unique. They're going to be the shade that's not going to be involved one bit. Yeah, not be involved one bit in the ego. They're very unique. Don't count them. However, says the Pasuk, Levi, Esroshom Leisisho. Don't you dare become snob through this. Don't feel that your head is over above everyone else. Just because Matalevi Leisifkoid, still, Esroshom Leisisho. Don't pick your head up above everyone else now and think you're special. Don't think you're special. Don't think that because you are a more unique nation, a more unique tribe, they have nothing to do with the needs of Klal Yisrael. Adarabba, you've got to be B'toich B'nei Yisrael. You've got to be amongst them, you've got to feel their pain, you've got to feel what they need, you've got to appreciate and understand that a Talmud Chacham, and a person who's a leader in Klal Yisrael, does not lead from the front, he leads from the middle. And Bimur and Shul is not in the front, the Bimur is in the middle. By the way, the Reform and the Conservatives fought the Chasam Sefer, who's the Shutof over here. They wanted to put the Bimur in the front. And the Chasam Sofer thought they should be in the middle. Why? What's the difference? Conservative and Reform look at religion as something you look up to. Something, you know, you've got to look to, something you not look up to that much, but you look forward. But it's not something I do in my taking care of my day-to-day life. It's not part of my kishkas. Something I do. I go to shul, I buy my Israel bonds, you know, that's fine. But it's not something that is me. It's me, right? In Klal Yisrael, other rabbi, the bima is right in the middle of the shul. It's right in the middle. It's mamish in the middle of my day-to-day life. Everything I do is the bima. Everything I do is the sefer Torah in the middle. Where was Shevet Levi? Where was the Mishkan? Wasn't leading in the front. It was in the middle of Klal Yisrael. Like the heart is in the middle of the body to make sure it goes all over. It feels all the needs of the body. That's Bnei Levi. Achis Matalevi Leisifkoid. Don't count them. Still, Vesreishon Leisiso. Make sure you don't become aloof. Remain b'toich b'nei Yisrael. If Anila asks me, if I am by myself, if I, all I care about is what I'm doing, what I'm learning, if Anila asks me, then Moani, what's it all for? That's the second question I'm asking Moani. The first one you ask me, Moani, if I'm by myself and I have a Messiah, what am I? If Anila asks me, Moani, the second question is, if all I'm doing it is, if I become choshev through Torah, as it were, and by doing so, I neglect my responsibilities to other people, then Moani, what's it all for? You get boys who go through the very good yeshivas, and they come to the end of the meal, and they got a dirty plate on the table, and they can't put the plate in the sink because it's bittul Torah. So what? Bittul what? What exactly have you been learning in yeshiva? Like your mother's a shivkot? To deal with shivkot is yeah, shiva, is that just the money, and boni is the money. Yeah, is that what it's all about? And what's the shivkot? You have to say, oh, it's not shivkot. My father one day sold me one day to the chayra. It's a matzav of the soyer shavet tzara. What's the din of shavet? Din of peruvu? And it's a benam lechavim al lemok and the shev shmeitz after the raisa. Yeah, but I might leave you playing the table. It's garnish. It's nothing. She nothing money. It's not that if you leave the brisker of the Reb Chaim Brisker. There's a terrible fire in Brisk, and in the poor area of town, the houses were wiped out. They were wiped out. Reb Chaim Brisker took his bed. He took his blankets and slept in the shul with all our name in the Ezes Noshim, And he sat there and he said, I'm going to stay here until there's a fund that's going to put together enough money to pay for these people's houses to be rebuilt who can't afford it. And he stayed there until the houses were rebuilt. He moved out of his house to stay in the shul. Imanila asked me more money. From to myself, all I care for myself, what's it all about? More money, what's it all about? That's the second lesson. Okay? The third lesson is a myriadig avot. A myriadig avot, what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that this. The Medrash says, Surah Surah Kadat, the Prophet says, in Perik Beis Pasuk Chof. Perik Beis Pasuk Beis. Is it Perik Beis Pasuk Beis? Yeah. Perik Beis Pasuk Beis. Ish al digloi ba'oisoi se beis avoisom yachnu b'nei Yisrael meneged sovel oil moed yachnu. Talking about the different flags. Ish al digloi, ish person on his degel. Ba'oisoi se beis avoisom. Ba'oisoi is a sign for the household. Yachnu b'nei Yisrael meneged sovel oil moed. Says the Medrash like this. Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael that each one shall have their own degel. Their own, a degel is their own what they represent. Each one represents something. Each one has a degel. This one has a ship. Each one has their own degel. And they should do that. So Moshe, and what should you do with the degel? Some people should be Mizrach, some of the Gadosh should be Mav, etc. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're making it very difficult for me. Klal Yisrael are not the easiest people anyway. Now I'm going to tell Reuven to go here in Mizrach, and he's going to go in Maariv. He's going to want to go in Maariv. He's going to go in Mizrach. And so I mean, so what, you know, how's this going to help? You know, it's just going to cause machlekas. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu about to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's your problem? You know what? This has been organized long ago. On Yaakov Avinu's deathbed, he put different people around him. And the same way he put the people around him by his deathbed, that is how I want you to put the Degolim now around the Mishkan. That's Peshat that says the Medrash. Ish al diglo le'ois le'beis avoisom. What's a beis avoisom? Le'beis avoisom from where the yachnu b'nei Yisrael. B'nei avoisom means exactly how the word the beis avoisom for how it was in the household of their father. Who's their father? Yaakov Avinu. That's yachnu b'nei Yisrael. That is how Klal Yisrael should go around the Mishkan. How it was at that time. How it was in the time of the beis avoisom that by Yaakov Avinu's deathbed. That's how yachnu b'nei Yisrael. That's the Medrash. So I saw a beautiful vote from Motcha Rogov, his Roshiv of Skoki. He says that this Moshe. So Moshe, what's Moshe Rabbeinu worried about? They're going to argue. Come on. You're dealing with nice people. You're dealing here with mutual people. You're dealing with people who are in the Siyim of Dor Deor. They receive the Torah and they're eating mon. And what, you start arguing about petty things? No, I want to be Mizrach, no, I want to be Maariv. No, I have this by the Shabbos table with my kids of 6 or 7, who wants to sit next to me? But you're dealing with adults, you're dealing here with Nassim. You want to sit Mizrach, you want to sit Maariv? No, I want to sit Tzofen. No, I want to sit Tzofen. That's what they're going to fight about. Come on. So he said, you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that they're not going to fight when things are going well. When things are going to fall apart is when things are not going well. And when things are not going well, to separate, to splinter, make splinter groups out of Klal Yisrael, that he's over here and he's on that side and he's on this side, to make sure and say, hey, Bnei Reuven, what are you doing this side? You're supposed to be back on this side when there's suddenly there's a shortage of water, or when there's a crisis, there's a Kurak making a whole revolution, or when there's Meraglim, and each one goes back to his own tent, you know, exactly in the place where it's supposed to be. That is what Moshe is worried about. Moshe is worried about that when push comes to shove, everything's going to fall apart. When crisis hits, everything's going to fall apart. And how can you expect Klal Yisrael? How can you expect Klal Yisrael to remain in the same levels of Seder and the same levels of order like it would be in the times when everything is going so well? That's Moshe Rabbeinu's taina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, you've missed the point. When did Yaakov organize Klal Yisrael? Around the Shabbos table? Did he organize around, you know, how to dance, when he danced around the Sefer Torah and Simchas Torah? He organized around his deathbed. When there's a crisis, when the last one of the Ovis is dying, when that's it, there's not going to be anyone in the Ovis anymore. And in that time of crisis, that time of sorrow, that time of upset, Yaakovina said, you're standing here? Fine. Reuven, you're over there. Shimon, you're over there. Yehuda, you're over there. And even a time when there's crisis, Yaakov Avinu said, there's a time that even then, Klal Yisrael have an obligation to keep not to lose a bottle, as they say, to completely keep control. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered back. Yad Moshe Ben said, all going to fall apart. Hashem said, no, they learned it from the time of crisis by Yaakov Avinu around there. Nothing's going to happen, don't worry. Ukushani la'asimoni ve'im la'achshav emasai. What's an achshav emasai? Don't think ever that you can lose it. Don't think ever that before the Torah was given. Torah was given for the ideal situations. Torah was given for the time and everything is going well. I have to have derech eretz when I see two empty buses, yeah, on an Erev Shabbos, and the two empty buses come towards my bus stop on Erev Shabbos, that's when I have derech eretz. After you help the buggies. But when it's the last bus on Erev Shabbos, and there's no other buses coming, and there's 89 or 95 children waiting by the bus stop, all trying to get on the bus, and then you keep the derech eretz, that's a Jew. That's a Yid. And therefore, don't think Torah is all about, you know, it's all very nice intellectually when things are going well. Yeah? There's a famous joke when in 1948 when the Germans were very, very Zionistically minded. You know, they like Ivrit, and they're very. And in 1948, you had, you know, there was war, and you had the Israelis there who'd been there for many years, very like tough and sabras. They were fighting. And so they were shouting at these Germans who had just joined the, whatever it was, the Stern Gang, whatever it was, they're shouting at them to shoot. Yeah? Tell me what Kador, there! He says, Das schießt man, das sprechen man Ivrit. Here they're shooting, here they're speaking Ivrit. You know? Speaking of Brit is in a classroom, you know, in a nice, in the middle of shooting, and start carrying speaking of Brit. Ridiculous. You don't speak of Brit when things get crisis. He's go back to the original language. That is Torah. Torah is, don't think for 1 second that it's a time of luxury. You know, when things are going well, you've got a beautiful book-lined library. That is when Rashi sat down and he wrote Rashi. A beautiful book-lined library with the Bailan disc on the thing. Where else does it say it in Shas? Oh, very nice. I can write on the side here. V'chein isha v'perik dal v'hei. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, and that's it. And that's it. That's how Rashi wrote Rashi. Rashi was being hounded from place to place by gangs of crusaders. Or gangs of crusaders. He wrote. That's where he wrote Rashi. Some didn't even have enough money to write it on paper. He wrote it on the walls. He wrote it on the table, and he took it off after from the table on the floor when he had enough paper. Rabbi Natan was a very wealthy man. But suddenly he came in, the crusaders came with a massive, and they wanted to kill him, had to give them an expensive horse, and he ran off. He wrote a whole memoir about this. Right? This is what Klai Yisrael were. In Eina Nili Mili, if you buy yourself, you have to appreciate Eina Nili, I'm special, I am unique. I have an unchelik in the Torah, and therefore that's what Kabbalah's Torah is for me. Not for the other person, it's for me. Ukushani la'at mi morani. But if I'm by myself and have no Messiah, it's a joke. It's nothing. It's ridiculous. Or, if I use my Torah, or if I use what my levels of ruchnius for myself, and I'm aloof from other people, I'm a reish of gabov, and my head above everyone else, then I've gained something from the Torah. You know, somebody came to a Rosh Shiva and said, Rebbe, I've learned Torah. So yeah, what's the Torah do, oiskelent man kin? What does Torah teach you, my child? You've learned Torah, but what does Torah teach you? Then morani, what's helping you? And thirdly, v'im la'achshav emasai. This prophet tells me by the idea of Yaakov Avinu teaching them on the deathbed exactly how it should look, that there's never a time when you fall apart. There's never a time when a Yid loses his dignity, when a Yid loses who he is. There's a beautiful Maisa I saw, I may have told it to you before. Well, it's late. The beautiful Maisa I saw, there was a Nebuch in the concentration camps. People would give away everything. People would give away everything they had before they thought they were going to be killed. One day, a man was called into the commandant, so he changed his shoes as one person, and he changed his clothes to somebody else, and he's walking there ridiculous, his shoes too small, shoes too big, but if his shoes are better than somebody else, there's no point him being killed and taking his shoes, so he changed everything round. He had a ration of bread. If I'm going to be killed in an hour or so, what's the point of me eating my ration of bread? So he'd give it to a friend, his ration, not enjoying the last, he gave his ration of bread to a friend. And that's what they'll do. One day a man was called the commandant, he did all these different things, he gave his belt to one person, his shoes to somebody else, his bread to somebody else. And through Nissim and Nifloyes, he came back. So his friend said, oh, I'm so happy to see you back, here's your bread back. Here's your bread. Oh, you came back? You didn't give it to me. You didn't give it to me because you wanted to give it to me, because you thought you were going to die. That's a mekach tos. You're back, take your bread back. Here's your bread back, here's your shoes back, here's your belt. Here's your belt. And the whole process. He gave his shoes to the person that had a little bit less, and he gave it to the next person. They all started giving all the way back. This is unbelievable. This is people in a place of Gates on Mavis, Mamish, in hell. And people were worried about Gezel, and people worried about Mekachtos, and people. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's in the Achshav Emesai. If it's not now, every time is now. If it's not now, when? Every moment we mechuyev to be totally in control. Totally in control. I think I told this nice as well. We had Dr. Tversky, Rabbi Avraham Tversky. I believe he's a man who is a Chad B'dayroi. Dr. Abraham Tversky, a Chad B'dayroi. He says that his father, Rachmon Litzan Haviena Machla, had very bad cancer. And it was incurable. It was in the liver, one of the kidneys, or in the liver. It was very incurable. And just before he died, a few weeks before he died, they decided to start a new treatment. And he said to him, it's impossible. You know, you're not going to live through this. It's impossible. Why are you doing this to yourself? The last few weeks, you know how painful it is. You know how tiring it is. It makes you feel nauseous. It makes you feel ill. Why are you doing this? The last few weeks, you know, put yourself together. Enjoy the last few weeks. Enjoy the time with your family. You know, enjoy it. You know, he said, I can't do that. If I don't go through this treatment, then my wife, Achameva Eshem Adai, would say, oh, I wish I would have encouraged him to do that treatment. Who knows, if he would have gone through that treatment, he would have lived or died. I know I'm going to die. But my wife would always have these guilty feelings that if I would have pushed him to do this treatment, he would have lived. I cannot, even my last weeks of my life, in these times, allow my wife to feel bad about this after I die. I'm going to go through this treatment. Then come on, this is unbelievable. This is somebody who is going through, possibly he knows he's going to die, he's going to go through all this pain, his wife shouldn't feel guilty. Say something for yourself in Achshav Emesai. And these are the Limudim before Matan Torah. This is Limudim from Parshas Bamidbar. Internalize this. Internalize who I am. Internalize what I'm supposed to be connecting myself to. What, to the above and to the below. To Mesira. And supposed to be connecting myself to other people to help them. And when is that time? Always now. Then that will be the biggest and greatest achon you can possibly have. That's Hashem to Kabbalah Torah.